This morning I'd like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very familiar chapter to many of you, perhaps all of you. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is often referred to as the great love chapter of the Bible. And in verse 8, Paul would say, charity never faileth. Now, charity is not just love, but it's love in action. It's showing our love through our behavior and our actions. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I pray God will bless the reading of His Word to us this morning. Sometimes the most important things in life are neglected. They're put off so that we can take care of things that are urgent. But I would say this morning that the most important things in this life to us should be those things that are most important to God. How many of y'all would agree with that? What God considers important ought to be very important to us. And it's not our houses. It's not how much land we own. It's not how much money we've got in the bank. It's not how good looking we are. It's not how smart we are and how much education we've got. It's not how many games we win. It's not how much applause we get. What really matters to God is how much we love one another. That's the most important thing in God's sight. And it ought to be to us. Now, I'm not underestimating the value of some of those things that I mentioned this morning, but I want to turn with you just a moment to Matthew chapter 25. And let's notice what Jesus will be saying to his sheep on the right hand on the final day when he comes back and gathers all nations before him. He will say to those on his right hand, this is Matthew 25 and verse 35, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. That's what matters to God, that we would be willing to feed those that are hungry. He said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Beloved, those are the things that matter to God. How we genuinely love people, show our charity, our love in action. Now, how many of y'all today value those things I've just read? Well, if you were hungry and somebody fed you, I'll guarantee you it would matter. If you were thirsty and somebody gave you a drink, you would value that. If you didn't have any clothes and somebody gave you something to wear, would you appreciate that? If you were sick and somebody came to visit you, would you appreciate that? This world that we live in is crazy busy. But I can tell you, the Word of God brings us back to reality. So let's come back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice again what our beloved apostle is saying to the church at Corinth. Corinth had many gifts. They had many great, outstanding people in their church, but they were lacking in love. So Paul is writing them this letter to bring them back to the most important things in this world. How to know what is important? Well, I'll tell you a good way you and I might decide what is really important. What are we going to be thinking about when we're on our deathbed? Wow. Are we going to be wishing, well, I'd have had more land, I'd have had a bigger house, I'd have had more money, I'd have had more fame, I'd have been better looking? What are we going to really be thinking about when we're laying there? And we know our time of departure is near at hand. I suspect we're going to be wishing I'd have loved people more. I wish I'd have loved people more and shown them love. Or if you've been a loving person, you'll be very grateful that you were that kind of person. That God worked in your heart and you didn't harden your heart. But you really, valued what God values. Let me tell you, beloved, when we're dying, I suspect those of us who have followed Christ in church membership, you know, this is His church. It's not my church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. That makes it very important, doesn't it? Now, if it's Brother Sam's church, that's nothing. But if it's His church, it makes it very important. And those who have followed Christ by joining His church and trying to help keep it going. You see, beloved, the only way the church is going to continue here at Cool Springs is that our people continue to join the church and follow Jesus. And I value the young ones that have joined this church recently as much as I do the oldest member in the church. And that's getting to be me. I tell you, when you come down to the end, you're going to be very thankful if you followed your Lord in water baptism. That's a precious memory for us that have been baptized. We were baptized in His name because we love Him and we wanted to honor His death, burial, and resurrection in the way that He said. Let's not undervalue church membership. Let's not undervalue baptism, water baptism in the kingdom. I tell you, those things are going to matter a lot to us when we are nearing the end. Those are not the things that are going to get us into heaven, no. But I'll tell you one thing, it sure does add to our lives on this earth. I had a brother one time in Statesboro when I was pastoring down there, came to my home. He was attending church and he asked me, he said, Brother Sam, I want you to baptize me. I want to follow my Lord in baptism, but I don't want to be a member of the church. And I said, now why is that? He said, you know, churches have problems. Sometimes members get it in for one another and they fall out with one another and there's politics in the church and I just don't want to deal with all that, but I want to be baptized. I said, well, now wait a minute. I know you're married. But you know, marriages have problems. Can I get a witness? Now, it would be like somebody coming and saying, Brother Sam, I want you to marry this woman, to me. I want us to get married, but I don't want to live with her because you know there's a lot of problems in marriage. You see, love helps to deal with all that. Can y'all agree with that this morning? So, yes, there are problems in the church sometimes, problems in marriage, problems in the community, problems being a citizen of America. But I want to tell you, love helps us to deal with all of that. And we need to keep that in mind. Now, let's notice here in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. The word prophecies in Scripture can mean somebody proclaiming the Word of God, like I'm trying to do this morning, or even forecasting the future. And there's prophecies in the Old Testament about the birth of Jesus, where He would be born, when He would be born. But those prophecies have come to an end. They have been fulfilled, the ones concerning our Lord Jesus. And did you know there's a day coming when there'll be no more preaching? Now, don't y'all all just jump up and clap. But I want to tell you, in heaven, there's no evidence there's going to be any preaching going on in glory. You know why? Because we preach about Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we'll be with Him. We won't need anybody up. There'll be singing in glory because we'll be singing to the Lamb who redeemed us and bought us with His own precious blood. But there won't be any preaching in heaven. Prophecies will fail. What else did He say would fail? Well, let's see. He said, tongues, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. God gave the early church the gift of tongues, where people could speak in languages they had never studied. And that was a sign to the Jewish people that Jesus was the Messiah. And these brethren who had never studied other languages could preach the gospel in languages they had never studied. Now that would be a great gift, wouldn't it? Some of us struggle with English. Well, I want to tell you, I tried to learn Swahili, but I just gave up on it. That's the language they speak in Africa. But let me tell you, God gave these gifts of tongues, languages, to the apostles and the early church. But that all ceased. That all went away after a while. And so He says, tongues shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, knowledge is a wonderful thing. We're living in the information age. And there's so much knowledge available to all of us, it's overwhelming. You can just Google about any subject you want to. I Googled the cyclorama this morning, and you know, the painting in Atlanta. I hadn't been there in over 40 years, but I read all about it. It's just right there at our fingertips, knowledge. But you know, the knowledge shall fade away. Sometimes we almost idolize men of high intelligence. But I can tell you, all of that will vanish away. And then notice what the apostle says. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. In other words, beloved, this church here, and those who are part of this church, we know a part of the Bible. We know a little bit about the Word of God. He says we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I believe verse 10 is talking about heaven. When that which is perfect is come. When you and I get to heaven, that which is in part shall be done away. And then notice what he says in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And we all did. Did you know there was a time when none of us in this house could talk? We were little babies in mama's arms. We couldn't talk. How exciting was it the first day that little kid said, "Mama," or "Dad, Dad." Y'all remember those days? I don't remember when I said Mama the first time, but I'm sure I did at some point, and Mama and Daddy were probably excited. But today I don't sit around at the dining table out in the lunchroom and talk to the brethren and say, y'all want to hear me talk, baby talk? See, that's passed away. Y'all do get that, don't you? Well, Paul is saying that in the spiritual realm, we are all still little children. Now, I don't care how smart you are and how much Bible you can quote, you're still a little child. Do y'all understand that? Don't get carried away with your knowledge, with your understanding of the Word, and become dogmatic and all of that. No, we're all still little children in the spiritual realm. And Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now that's when we all get to heaven and we are made perfect in our resurrection bodies. Then we'll lay aside all of these childish things down here. It's very important that we keep those things in mind. Yes, sir, we thought as a child, we spoke as a child, we understood as a child. And you know, there's something about children that I've noticed. Little children think they know a lot more than they think they know. I heard about a little girl, she was 5 years of age, and she came home from school one day, and she said, Daddy, he said, honey, what did you learn today? She said, well, we learned about Christopher Columbus. And we learned about American Indians. And she said, I already knew all that. But then we learned about George Washington. She said, I didn't know about George Washington. And she said, Daddy, I bet there's two or three more things in this world I don't know. That's a little kid for you. Well, I want to tell you, compared to what you and I know today, compared to what there is to know about God and heaven and eternity, would be like comparing this little bottle of water to the Atlantic Ocean. You and I are in store for glorious experiences in another world. It's just going to be out of this world. So don't get carried away with yourself too much right now. You're just little children. Is that offensive to y'all? Some of you say it's not. Well, I want to tell you, compared to what we're going to be in glory, we're just little children down here. And we don't need to get arrogant, high-minded, carried away with ourselves, bragging, boasting, etc. We are just little children in the sight of God. And there's so much that I don't understand about the Bible. You know, I joined this church when I was 15, and I was blessed to have a wonderful pastor who was a great teacher, Elder Daugherty. And by the way, talking about love, when I think of Elder Daugherty, I think of love. What about y'all? There wasn't a bless his memory. If ever a young brother trying to exercise a gift to preach was blessed with a wonderful mentor, I was. And I want to be more like Brother Daugherty. When you think about the greatest Christians that you know in the world, what really comes to your mind? Do you think about some preacher that can quote the whole New Testament? I remember Elder C.E. Smith. You talk about a man of God. He was from Shawnee, Oklahoma. He used to come through here and preach, and he carried a little bag with him, and he would be on the road for 2 months sometimes, and he could quote the entire New Testament. There are some here today who remember Elder C.E. Smith. When you think about the greatest Christians that you've ever known, do you think about a preacher that could quote the whole New Testament? Or do you think about somebody that had a near-death experience? That was glorious. I'm not undervaluing any of these things. But I want to tell you, when God values the greatest, He's looking for people that loved the most. And how do we show that love? Well, let's look here. There's so much about the Word of God I don't fully understand. Prayer, how prayer works. I try to preach a lot on prayer. I try to pray a lot. I believe in prayer. I believe prayer works. But for me to understand how it works, I probably don't know much more about how prayer works than I do my telephone. How many of y'all know how your phone works? Your cell phone. How many of y'all use one? I do constantly. And I thank God for it. But if I had to build one, it would take 1,000 years for a brain like mine to ever come up with how to build a cell phone. I don't understand how it works, but I use it all the time. I don't understand how prayer works, but I use it all the time. There's so much about things that I don't understand, but I tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'll be able to understand even as I understand here. Let's notice what Paul says later on in this chapter. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now what he's saying is this, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. On our best day in the kingdom of God, we're only seeing through a glass darkly what is waiting for us in heaven. And somebody asked me one time, Brother Sam, why didn't God tell us more about heaven than he did? Why doesn't the Bible just tell us all about heaven? Well, in the first place, we wouldn't understand it. It would be beyond our comprehension. And another thing is, if you and I knew how glorious heaven was, we wouldn't want to finish our journey on this earth. You know, if you set a kid down to a plate of spinach and broccoli, and then you sit right next to them a dessert, I mean the best brownie that was ever baked, and covered with bluebell ice cream. You think that kid's going to enjoy that spinach and broccoli? Probably not. I wouldn't. Now I want to tell you, if God had showed us what's waiting for us in glory, I doubt if we'd want to live another day on this earth. So he's held it back from us. But I want to tell you, I've seen enough to know it's glorious. It is glorious. And so Paul would say, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Then notice what he would say, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Then verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul is certainly not diminishing the importance of faith and hope in our lives. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to live by faith. I want to trust God. I don't want to live in fear. How many of y'all enjoy just living in fear, wallowing in fear? The Bible says fear hath torment. And if y'all are fearful about the economy, or if you're fearful about the government, you really need to start exercising your faith more and trusting in God, who can do something about all of it. Can I get a witness from anybody? Amen. Faith is a wonderful way to live. And hope. I tell you, it's a dark world if somebody is hopeless. They have no hope of the future at all. No, Paul isn't saying that faith and hope aren't valuable, but he is saying that charity is the greatest of the three. Let me illustrate that to you all this morning. Let's say a young woman is in New York City at Kennedy Airport, and there's a plane leaving London, England. And she knows the time of departure of that plane. She knows when that plane is taking off from London, and she's going to follow it as it crosses the Atlantic Ocean. And she knows the arrival time. And she's got faith in the airline that they'll get there safe and sound. She's got a big hope in her heart that they arrive safely. But on that plane is her fiancé that she loves. Now when the plane lands in New York and everything is safe, her faith and hope will have come to an end. But her love for that man has not come to an end. I want to tell you all this morning, faith and hope will come to an end when we get to heaven. We won't need it. But love will live on for all eternity. I love you all. I want to grow in love. I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. I want to love my grandchildren. I want to love this church. I want to love my country. But I want to tell you, beloved, sad to say, my love is not nearly what it ought to be. I hate to tell you all that. Somebody sent me a text this week that said, I don't ever brag about my love for Jesus because it's not what it should be. But I brag about his love all the time because it's perfect. Y'all agree with that? His love is a perfect love. And everybody he wants with him in heaven will be there. He's not going to let one of them go to hell. You think God, who loves with a perfect love, would ever be happy in eternity if an object of his love has perished in hell? No. He sent his son down here to make sure they're all saved. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And everyone he came to save will be there without the loss of one. And we do rejoice in that glorious truth this morning. His love is perfect. Mine has got a lot of room to grow. But I tell you, the more I'm around y'all, the more I love you. Now there are some people hard to love. I will confess. Can I get a witness? Let's not start calling names. But I want to tell you, that's a challenge. Listen, if everybody was easy to love, there wouldn't be, you know, we just need to learn to love the way God loves. And you know how God loves me? With an unconditional love. You think he loves Sam Bryant because I'm such a fine little fella? You know, a little angel dipped in sugar? No. You can talk to my wife about it. She can tell you. None of us are that lovely. He loves us with an unconditional love. Like the father of the prodigal son. You remember when that boy left home? He said to his daddy, he said, give me my portion. He was asking for his portion that he would have gotten when his daddy died. But he didn't want to wait on his daddy to die, although he implies in that request that he wished his daddy was dead so I could go ahead and get my portion. But no, the daddy was not dead, so he said, give me my portion. And the father gave it to him, and he took it into a faraway country and wasted it in riotous living. Did that father stop loving that wayward son? No. He didn't love his ways, but he loved the boy. And I want to tell you, God's love for us is like that. I love the story of a preacher over in West Georgia. His name just about came to my mind then. I loved him dearly. He told this one time in a sermon. He said, you know, he said I'd been off on a weekend preaching trip, and I got back to our house, and he said I had on my suit, my coat, my tie, my white shirt, and he said I hadn't seen my little boy Jackie in 2 or 3 days. And Jackie loved his daddy, and daddy loved Jackie. Jackie had been playing in a mud puddle. It had rained, and Jackie was, you know how kids love to play in mud. Jackie was covered in mud. He jumps up out of the mud puddle, brushes his hands off, and runs straight toward his daddy. You know what his daddy said? I wish I could think of his name. Y'all ever have a name right on the tip of your tongue and you can't get it? Well, bear with me. I remember Jackie, the little boy, his name. The father said, you know, he's coming right at me with all that mud. And he wanted me to pick him up and hug him. And I had on my best clothes. But he said, I just had to pick him up and love him, hug him. He said, I didn't love all that mud, but I sure did love what was behind the mud. Do y'all know how much mud is on us? I know some of us want to pretend we're just about perfect, but we're not even close. But that has nothing to do with God's love for us. He loved that dying thief on the cross. And you and I need to learn to love like the Father loved that wayward son. And let me tell you, when that boy came to his senses and came back home, you know what happened? Do y'all remember what happened? The daddy, a Jewish man, ran out and embraced him. Put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. And he rejoiced and he made merry. That's the kind of love that you and I can have, really. If you've got a wayward child today, and I've known of a lot of them, I tell you, the parents seem to love that one more than they do the others in a way. They don't love their ways, but they sure do love the child. Now, you and I can grow in that kind of love. Let me close this morning with this illustration that I heard many years ago. It comes out of World War I, the Trench War. Americans, British had dug their trenches. The Germans and their countries had dug their trenches. And between those trenches was what was called no man's land. They had barbed wire. And those soldiers had to live in those trenches. And sometimes they would be flooded. There were rats. It was horrible. And one day, during a battle between the Americans and the Germans, this German soldier had been shot, severely wounded, out there in no man's land. He's laying out there begging for help, pleading for somebody to come and give him a drink of water. Now, this is a true story. No German soldier went to get him, but a young American private crawled out of the trench, made his way to where that German soldier was, and gave him a drink of water, and all the shooting stopped. And that young American picked that German soldier up in his arms and took him to the German trench. Did you know that's the kind of love you and I can have? And a German corporal got out of the trench, took off of his uniform the highest honor that a German soldier could ever have, and pinned it on that young American. Now listen, when nations are being attacked, we have a right to defend ourselves. If America's being attacked, our military, thank God for our military. They have every right in the sight of God to fight and defend us. I agree with that totally. Our Americans had a right to be in Europe fighting. But I want to tell you, there was something more glorious on that battlefield that day than their weapons. And that was the love of God in the heart of a young soldier. You know, I think the greatest soldier of World War I on the American side was a young guy from Tennessee, from the hills of Tennessee. His name was York. He became known as Sergeant York. They made a movie about him. He objected to going to the war because of a conscientious objection. But our government turned him down. He had to go. But he was a sharp shooter. He had been trained to shoot when he was living in the hills of Tennessee because his family depended on the squirrels and the rabbits and the deer that he killed. He became a sharp shooter. Now, he objected to going to war because he was raised in a Christian home. But they said, I remember reading about how his commanding officer reasoned with him from the Word of God and convinced him, you're doing right by defending our country. They made a movie about him. Y'all may have seen it. Sergeant York. Yes, sir. That man had a right to defend this country, but in his heart, he loved his enemies. When soldiers are on a battlefield, like the Germans and the Americans, it's the old men that send them to war. Those young boys, if they could just have time together, they'd end up loving one another. Well, I want to tell you, and I can do that today in the church. Are y'all agreeing with me this morning? Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And it's loving people. Even people hard to love. Let's show it. When people talk about Cool Springs, may they say that. It's amazing how much those people love one another. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you all for your attention this morning.